Portfolio Construction Forum presents Charles Jamieson, February 2017.
All right, so we're going to look at, just process to start before we get into how Australian government bonds might actually continue to provide positive returns for investment portfolios over 2017, and then specifically over the next 3 to 5 year period. I guess, fund managers get grilled on their process a lot of the time, and we try and find processes that work long term and then implement them and generate outperformance. I guess for investors, it's really critical that processes are also followed. And so looking at this quadrant in regard to Graham's kind of thinking around this winds of change philosophy, we believe that you really must be long-term investors, and that diversification is really important. Modern day portfolio theory attests to that again and again. We've heard a huge amount about the widened tails and the uncertainty. I guess the overreactions is a big one, as Rob just touched on, 2016. Sell everything, don't go anywhere near commodities. The Federal Reserve will hike rates 4 times, and yet we get to the end of the year and that couldn't have been more incorrect. So as we start the year with these very, very strong market thematics, I guess just bear in mind it is a very long year and there is a lot of wood to chop. There will be a few hand grenades along the way. Let's hope they don't turn into something greater. But if they do, you'll certainly need this product, or you may certainly need this product. And I guess try and find people and managers that can help you get to those strategies as you require. Now we're going to look at that question, and we'll start with some kind of secular thematic in that, and we'll have a little bit of a look at some tactical opportunities in around that a little bit later on. But I guess we'll just start here, because without question, we are at the end of a very, very long trend. Now you can see, and this red square is kind of our estimation, that this trend is likely to consolidate for a period. Now, the actual square is probably a little wider than we would think the range might potentially be. It'll be more around the yellow dots, but it is very, very rare in financial history that you will see a trend like this just turn and spike straight back up. I think by virtue of the fact that the debt burdens are so large now, there is a point at which we can all understand that if financing and funding costs, if the cost of capital goes up considerably, then clearly we're going to have a slowdown in economics and discretionary spending and the likes. So we're not going back to anywhere like where we've come from. But conversely, this one-off revaluation that every asset class has enjoyed, be that by funding rates in property or by discount rate assumptions in equity and infrastructure, is now fairly complete. And of course, bonds have been a huge beneficiary from this, in that they have consumed their future income in the form of immediate capital gain. And that now looks to be complete. So it's much more of an income story going forward. But we do expect that this will be not without incident, as we expect to build this base over time. Since the Trump election, we've already seen a very powerful sell-off at the end of last year, the fastest sell-off we've seen in Australian rates since the GFC. So a lot of the work has been done from the bear side in many respects. And we'll run through some, scenario analysis in a minute to show you how that actually plays out. All right, so before we get into this, I just wanted to ask the audience, and I asked this of an institutional audience a couple of weeks ago, just by a show of hands, who thinks the RBA are going to hike interest rates in 2017? That's a bit concerning, actually. We've only got one, all right? Who thinks they're going to cut interest rates again? Okay, so there's a few cuts. I think the institutional guys, we're absolutely with you as a group. We're very confident that the RBA will be on hold over the course of 2017. So then what we're looking at here is the spread between the 10-year government bond rate and the RBA cash rate over the last 20-odd years. And you can see clearly, if we're going to hang this thesis on, we're going to put a big bolt in the wall that the RBA are not going to move the cash rate over the course of this year, then we can look at how far do we think 10-year government bonds can sell off before they will find what we consider to be very cheap or attractive valuations. Now what you'll often notice, or what you'll certainly notice, is that there is a threshold at which, once we kind of get into that range, what's happening here is we are tightening financial conditions. We are increasing the cost of capital. And that tends to have fairly negative impacts further down the line. And we'll show you that in some of the bond returns over this period a little later on. But one thing I do want to note here is that, you know, ex the GFC, which was clearly a very extraordinary period in financial markets, I just want you to remember the number 215. And the reason I want you to remember that, 215 over the cash rate, is that it's three standard deviations, cheap essentially, or which would encompass 99.7% of all probabilities. And that's going to be the basis for one of our scenarios. So just remember that number. We've only ever really been there in the GFC. Otherwise, what you've tended to see is a powerful revaluation versus the cash rate after periods of underperformance. So in many respects, this is an entirely self-correcting product over time. Now, one thing, you know, we hear a huge amount about economic forecasts and economists, bless them, they try very hard. This is data from Bloomberg since September 2011, showing that as a majority group, economists have only predicted falling interest rates collectively in a six-month forward environment once. And that was if President Trump was elected. They could not have got it more wrong. As a group, they've always tended to think that rates will be higher. They're not. Interest rates are a very difficult thing to forecast. There are a huge number of inputs which affect them. Clearly, we have inflation expectations at the 10-year point. We have supply and demand. We have GDP expectations. There are some regulatory things depending on what's happening with asset liability matching programs or management. And of course, they are a function of cash rates. So poor, bless the economists, frankly, they're not particularly good at it. We believe that, you know, as much as we have to be very cognizant of the macro environment and you know, the macro thematic and what is happening from that secular point of view, it's really important to take good note of the positioning and the flow of funds to help mark some of the signposts, particularly when we look at the market from a tactical basis. All right, so we want to have a little bit of a look at some scenario analysis because, as we said, 10-year rates are extremely difficult to forecast. If we look at 2016 alone, we had a huge amount of movement over the course of the year to change essentially without change, although the cash rate did fall. And so these are just some probabilities which we've ascribed internally. You may very well have different assumptions about those probabilities. But what we're trying to look at is how would the index of government bonds perform roughly over the course of the year if we were to finish at these particular yield assumptions. Now, the best case scenario for almost everybody in this room is scenario one, because we all own growth assets. And in this scenario, growth assets and portfolio total returns are absolutely flying. But this is a full-on bond bear market. We're going to be hiking interest rates at the Federal Reserve by three or more times. But importantly, there won't be any negative feedback loop from that higher cost of funding at this point in the cycle. And growth will be sustained. There won't be any geopolitical flare-up. Now, there is, of course, a point at which interest rate hikes start to have an impact. And I actually started my career in New York way back when. And, of course, in New York after work, back in those days, I used to go out and drink martinis. Pretty good fun for a young kid from Australia. I was having a great time. And I had a great boss at the time, and he said to me, we were hiking interest rates, it was 1999. He said, Charlie, hiking rates is a bit like drinking martinis. A couple are okay, but after that, you're in a big trouble. And so it's normally, if you kind of look back at other cycles, it's around about the third rate hike, which we're going to experience soon, where risk markets start to think, if you continue to do this, if you continue to lift the cost of capital, then this is going to have an impact down the line, because clearly you are quelling future inflation expectation. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that the Federal Reserve or any of these central banks will stop at that point. Once they start, clearly they want to see that their ambitions are realised. But, you know, this is a good scenario for asset owners in general. Now, why the 365 is important, I said, please remember the number 215. That takes 10-year government bond yields to a level that they have rarely been to. It takes them to the third standard deviation cheap versus the cash rate, a 99.7% probability that that will be as far as they go to finish the year at a 365 yield. Now, there is an assumption in here, and this was done at the start of this year, or just before Christmas of last year, actually, that the curve would steepen slightly in this scenario because the RBA, as we know, likely to be stuck at 1.5% over the course of the year. And you can see here that portfolio total returns are almost flat, slightly negative. Now, hopefully, you've picked a good asset manager, a good active manager like PIMCO, and they've generated good additional alpha for you, and you've got an expected total return higher than that. Certainly, alpha generation in this space has been something that's been very difficult to produce of late, but there are a few firms around that have a good history of producing that. I certainly think you should seek them out if you can find them. Scenario number two, steady as she goes. The Fed is going to move somewhere between 2 and 3 times. We have 2.7 hikes currently expected. That is already in the price. The market has already moved to already resemble that in its forward estimations of where we're going. Now, of course, we had 4 in 2015, which was realised as 1. We had 4 last year, which was realised as 1. This time we're a little bit more cautious, and yet we know we've got this high growth kind of policy environment happening in the background. Much of that is going to be back-end loaded, so it's more a 2018 story. We know that Trump, who has drained the swamp, now must work with the swamp very closely to get any of this legislation through. It would be a huge repudiation on his presidency if he has both houses and can't pass legislation as a Republican president. But it's going to take time. Infrastructure will take even longer. So assuming that we do get the 2 or 3 and we're here or hereabouts, remember, the market's already moved very, very quickly at the end of last year to price in these new estimations. And, carry and predominantly income will provide a total return somewhere around 3% in a passive type product. Let's assume that there is delay in Trump's delivery. Let's assume scenario number 3. Clearly, after the election, the US dollar moved rapidly higher. Bond yields moved higher. Both of those things tighten financial conditions immediately. And we're already starting to see, as much as we've had great consumer expectation about the future, hard data is starting to just calm back a little bit. The data was very good prior to the election, and it has continued on to be quite solid after the election, but it is starting to pull back a bit, which we would expect. Let's just assume that we only get 2 rate hikes. In a static environment, that means that forward curve now has that extra 0.7 already priced, and you would expect some mild recovery. And so let's assume then that bonds just fall back a little bit, down to around the 250 mark. We're looking at an index total return of around the low 5%. And then we've heard a lot about this right tail, the scenario where something goes wrong. Now, I actually think in 2017, this is likely to emanate out of Europe. I don't think it'll be Trump. I think it's a little early on and won't be tested to this degree early on. But there's definitely a probability here that this can go horribly wrong. I guess the denominator for me on Make America Great Again is Make China Weak. And I don't think that's going to play very well over time. But it's not tomorrow's news, or very unlikely to be. But we do have these elections in Holland starting soon. France is the big swing one, and then Germany. Look, there's always a lot of unforeseen things that come along in any investable year. If something does go materially wrong, bond yields start to fall back very quickly, or we have a credit event or something of the like, and some kind of flight to quality movement, so selling of growth assets to move into more defensives to try and get to that high ground, well then clearly bond returns can kick and be well north of 7.7%, but that's just under the assumption that we do stop at around that 2% area. So I think in a year which is clearly very difficult to forecast, that scenario analysis, we believe it's still very likely that Australian government bonds will continue to generate a positive return, certainly in the context of our funds. We believe that we can generate alpha, and this is a really good environment for us to be a little bit tactical and to be able to generate some additional alpha. So we would hope to be in excess of those numbers, and we have been previously. So we'll be working hard to achieve that. With regard to some of the tactical, I guess, we need to think about what's actually transpired since the election. There was unbridled selling of fixed interest products from all investor types after the election. But the one really big swing factor seller was emerging market central banks desperately trying to defend their local currencies as the US dollar screamed higher. That sell flow is now abated, but when you do get that selling in the marketplace, it becomes what we call a VAR-based, a value at risk shock. And you tend to find that the selling begets more selling, which begets more selling, and that has very little to do with valuation, and it will not end until the last seller is exhausted. And we've got to that point by the end of last year. Now, we have seen these again and again in bond markets, I guess by virtue of the fact that we continue to borrow longer and longer and longer term debt as a global marketplace. We are picking up more and more duration and more convexity in indexes. So when they do unlock, they do tend to be up the staircase, down the fire pole very quickly, and the sell-off can be quite violent. We certainly had one in 2015. It started and emanated out of German Bunds in the second quarter. And after that sell-off was the best time to get invested over the year, unsurprisingly. We had the taper tantrum in 2013. Again, big reset in rate expectations. But thereafter, again, another great time to get allocated, to get invested. What we're looking at here is the positioning of non-commercial, i.e. speculative investors on the Chicago Board of Trade. Now, this is across Eurodollars, which are very short-dated rates instruments, 2-year, 5-year, 10-year, and 30-year futures contracts on US government bonds. And I guess that's an important one because we take so much of our lead from the US and where US rate policy is going as the global cost of capital. What you can see here from a tactical basis is that where we have had positioning now currently as extreme to the short side as we have ever seen in our generation of investing. We've had similar kind of positionings previously, all of which have generated substantial rallies thereafter. Now, this is not unsurprising. Anybody that knows that they're on a ship and everybody is listed to one side, it doesn't take much if you get a little change in the news flow or a little change in the expectation. If a few people start to cross, they go for the door and the door becomes a keyhole and only the first few get out. The rest of them tend to crash into the wall. What you've got to remember about this is that these people are short, these speculators are paying away carry. They are paying away the dividend on these bonds while they sit short. And that becomes a very expensive exercise if the momentum of the market is no longer with you. So just watch out for this, I guess, you know, particularly if you're an investor in REITs or yield-sensitive stocks, this might catch you a little bit by surprise. At some stage, this will be resolved, and it will be resolved with probably pretty powerful movement in bond yields. It's not going to be a straight line to higher yields. And certainly, you know, there are going to be some potholes and pitfalls along the way. And as we said earlier on, when these signposts flag these types of scenarios to us, it's a good indicator that we need to change our portfolio around, that the thematics that we've been exploring are fairly mature, and that it's time to look for, you know, maybe a tactical recovery for some period, and then we might reset again and look to try and generate some more alpha. Now, I guess, you know, we'll talk about the truly defensive nature of bonds. We've used the US high yield index here because we haven't really got an index of such in Australia to look out against, but I guess looking at the years of 1990, 99, 08, look, US high yield, you guys own a derivative of that anyway. You own equity. In fact, you own a lot of equity and you have a lot of financial sector exposure. Even people that think that they're very conservative have a tremendous amount of financial sector exposure. They come in and see us and they say, I'm a very conservative investor and I'm very well diversified. And we say, okay, well, that's interesting. Let's have a look at what you actually own. Well, you have term deposits. Well, that's great, very high quality asset. But after $250,000, that is bank risk. Australia have very high quality banks, so that's good risk. They have corporate bonds. Most of them in Australia are financial in nature. They are all lynched to the financial system in majority. They have hybrids. Again, are we seeing some thematic here? Financial exposure again. I know, but I've got negatively geared investment property. That is all banking risk. That is all funding risk. And I have bank equities. So we like the fact that this product is a completely different risk stack. It is government risk. It is well away from those other exposures. And, of course, it doesn't have the huge swings up, but these are akin to equity moves. But it doesn't have the big drawdowns either. So, you know, when it has drawn down, they have been fairly slight, much more moderate. But that's not to say that it hasn't had negative total return years. We have absolutely had negative total return years in Australian government bonds, but we also need to have a little bit of a look about what was happening at that time. So I guess the big one, the one you'll read about in the financial press, which is quite emotive, it's, you know, it's encouraging emotive headlines to make you subscribe or buy the newspaper, is it's going to be like 1994, where bonds were lacerated. Well, in 1994, the RBA hiked interest rates by 275 basis points in 6 months. Now, I implore you to go to your dinner tables tonight or over the weekend and ask your children or your brothers and sisters or your friends, what happens to you if your mortgage costs go up 50% in 6 months? And I think we'll know what the answer will be. It would be pretty difficult to stomach. We know the leverage is there. The debt has been created. It has been created at a far greater rate than incomes have been rising. Australians are very, very levered. What happens to bond returns after we have those drawdown periods? Because of that tightening in financial conditions, generally get a slowdown in the economy and bonds do very, very well. So powerful, powerful performance. I guess 09, you know, we had a slight drawdown there after what had been 18 or 19% through the GFC. So absolutely self-rebalancing product, long-term beneficial for portfolios, and as Rob alluded to, great, you know, left tail protection if you're looking for something like that. I guess just to touch on the process again, you know, there is a huge amount of macro, which, you know, we hear a tremendous amount about. I guess the micro stuff, the flow of funds, the technicals, the quantitative insights are a little bit harder to get. But I would absolutely implore you to be constantly thinking about a balance of being risk-seeking and risk-averse if you are going to be actively managing your portfolio. All right, so in summation, Australian government bonds can still provide positive returns. It is very unlikely the RBA will hike interest rates in 2017. That is the major headwind for a negative total return in bond markets. And so then we will have an income component which will help to insulate any backup if we do continue to push to higher yields. But importantly, how long can we stay at higher yields? We can definitely go there, but can we stay there? We saw earlier on, when we get very elevated versus the cash rate, we tend to collapse and collapse very powerfully. Much of the bond market repricing is now complete, the end of last year. If you're looking at this product for the first time, you've just landed on your feet, because this is a great opportunity given that, you know, we ended where we started, but the cash rate is substantially lower than it was at the start of last year. Please remember that all of the recessions of the last 40 or 50 years have occurred because the cost of capital has increased. If the Federal Reserve go and hike interest rates three times this year, three times next year, three times in 2000, as we've heard, we are going to have a recession. That is just as clear as day to me. At some point, that has a big impact on growth assets, and it will lead to great performance in bond markets. And this tail risk protection, I guess, is absolutely critical for portfolios. I guess, you know, for the bears, the market bears, this is an easy allocation. Record US equity highs today. Take profits, thank you very much. For the bond market bears, you are picking up pennies in front of a steamroller. We're pretty close to being complete here. This is holding onto a beach ball underwater, and you are paying away carry, so you need the momentum of the market to be with you. Clearly, the geopolitical bears, it's a bit like Jerry Maguire, I had you at hello. You loved this product before I even started.